This is the first time I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes this flustered in any game, regular season. And no, I mean, even the Super Bowl, they lost to Tampa Bay. It was not like this, in my opinion.
It looked to me like they were out of ideas. It wasn't just that they were sort of out physical, which has happened at times before. And obviously we can go back to that Tampa Super Bowl, but it just looked like by midway through the second quarter, they kind of felt like, or at least I was getting vibes from them, that like hope was almost lost, and that no amount of screen passes and no amount of Mahomes just taking off and scrambling under duress was going to be enough to sort of stem this tide. For an Andy Reid operation to look like it was just, we're going to try a play here and we're going to try a play there, but it's probably going to be three and out. You know what I mean? Like we're probably not even going to get to midfield. It did feel different to me than even the Tampa one. It felt more suffocating. Like the idea that we've got no semblance of a run game to even try to lean on to get us out of this. Like, you know, I don't know, man. I thought Baldy, it would be desperation and Tooney would kick back inside and they'd go to a bunch of personnel packages we've never seen before, or he'd bring in eight offensive linemen. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought we'd go to some extreme to try to find something, right, to allow us to hold on to the ball for more than 30 seconds at a time. Yeah. But it just wasn't – it just never happened until garbage time.
But, you know, each step that you go up and you compete, every step you go up, the weaknesses that you do have become more and more exposed. So Joe Tooney was a great band-aid for literally 8 weeks. I mean, from week 14 when he went up against Myles Garrett, he was a great band-aid. And Caliendo was serviceable. You got to, you know, get the all-pro center next to him. You got to experience. So he was okay until they went against the Eagles. And the you know, I mean, Jalen, and really, the one thing that you see, I was just doing this draft show yesterday, and there's a reason why we pay attention to arm length, measurables. Joe Tooney came out of North Carolina State, you know, 32-inch arms. So even a guy like Jalen Hunt, you know, just a rookie, if he long arms him, I mean, Tooney doesn't have the length to be able to stop him. So Josh Sweat, you know, Jalen Hurts, they all beat him. And they exposed him. And so once Mahomes started feeling that thing collapsing, I have not seen him, to your point, Carl. I did Big 12 games when Mahomes was at Texas Tech. And this is – and there was games when he'd play Oklahoma and they just had more talent than Texas Tech. And he'd be running around and scrambling like we saw him trying to make a play. But that's – I haven't seen him play like that out of sorts since he left Texas Tech. And, you know, they never threatened. You know, they never even threatened to score. You know, and then when you're turning it over three times like they are, some of it due to pressure, most of it due to pressure. You know, he never saw Cooper DeJean. You know, never saw him. He's out there on the island just trying to find, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. And it just snowballed. There was two chances that they had to score. Right at the end of the first half when they hit DeAndre Hopkins and the Eagles blew the coverage. And there was no – like if he catches it on the run, he's going to score. The only guy back there was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He was covering Justin Watson down the field with his back turned. He's going to score. And then on the opening drive of the third quarter, they had Xavier Worthy running through the post. And Mahomes wants to go to him, and Jordan Davis collapsed the pocket and sacked him. If they scored on those two plays and suddenly it was 24-14,
right?
You know, I mean, if and nuts and all that stuff. But like, that was their opportunity, and they couldn't do it. And, you know, to find out that they never blitzed one time, they never rushed more than four, they ran one twist stunt the entire day in 38 dropbacks, and they dominated like that. What it does, and we'll get into more and more of the game, but it should be, and I was at the Senior Bowl, it's a deep draft for defensive line and very deep at every position. Like, that's where your resources have to go in this business, where you can win one-on-ones and you can expose a weakness of somebody out there. No matter if it's Jalen Hunt or Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham or, you know, Jalen Carter, like every one of those guys won one-on-ones.
No doubt. That's the key. And I think – I don't know. Maybe we talk about it, but I don't know, like, if the rest of the league talks about it as much, because everybody talks about scheme and, you know, play calls and all that shit doesn't matter. Like, if I beat you one-on-one, man, and I win all day, it's going to be a long day for you. And that's what we got. And that's what we witnessed.
And I think, honestly, I think that's what Vic Fangio said. He said, I think our four is better than your five.
Yeah.
And we're going to, now, if we get beat and we need help, we've got other ideas. But as long as we're getting home and we're affecting the quarterback, whether it's pressure, quarterback hit, sack, whatever that is, as long as we keep doing it, we're going to keep going with four. And we'll rotate you guys. We'll throw Brandon Graham in there for 14 plays. We'll throw the rookie Hunt in there. But we're going to keep you fresh. And if you keep, you know, and then, of course, you know, the score is piling up, you know, now it's 17. Oh, yeah. Thing. And so I think Vic said, look, as long as this is going, we're going to keep doing this. We're not going to change anything.
Let's talk about the other side of this, fellas. It's in the huddle. In the huddle pod, you can watch us, subscribe, like us, guys, and tell your friends. Don't miss an episode as we talk nothing but football on this podcast and certainly the NFL. Big offseason ahead of us, and we got a lot to look forward to. Jalen Hurts on the other side of this. Mahomes flustered. Hurts looked like he was totally in his element, right? This moment, fellas, was just not too big for him. Jason, he's delivering the ball. He's taking his time. He wasn't rushed. I mean, he was just like, it was a video game for him on Sunday. It felt that way.
He was in control of his surroundings and control of his domain. I thought his legs were just a backbreaker, crushing. When they did get pressure from, it was usually from the perimeter, right? And what did he do? Just turned it into a quarterback draw. I mean, he gutted them with runs right up the A gap two or three times that had to just feel like kicks in the nuts to Spags. Cause it's like when we did get, you know, when we did take away what they're trying to do on that obvious passing play, we still lost because of this guy's legs. I mean, look, the volume was there for Barkley, and that's kind of what we figured, but it was quantity, not quality, but it was enough just to stay balanced. Like, wasn't a lot of negative runs, was no explosives, but they just kind of knew who they were. And with what the defense was doing, they didn't have to change anything. They didn't have to make any big adjustments. Game flow and everything happening just kept playing to their advantage. The only thing, Baldy, that didn't play to their advantage was the extra long halftime where the Chiefs defense could catch their breath after being on the field 20 minutes in the first half or whatever. Yeah. Jalen Hurts has been masterful now in two Super Bowls.
So two things, Jason, Carl. One was, okay, this was what Spags said we're going to do. We're going to stop Saquon. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to play a two-high safety shell. We're going to press your wide receivers, whether we're in cover three, cover four. We're going to press your receivers, and we're going to play our three big linebackers with Chanel, Bolton, and Tranquil, and we're going to attack the line of scrimmage. And Saquon's not going to beat us. So it's interesting. They ran a play in the second quarter out of a pistol formation, and they ran Saquon to the left, and he pulled Mekhi Becton, and, you know, Tranquil came from the backside, chased it down, one-yard loss. They came back in the third quarter with the exact same formation, the exact same play action, and this time they faked it to Saquon, and they threw a 46-yard touchdown pass, you know, to Devontae Smith. I mean, and you could see all the linebackers get sucked up. They didn't know until it was too late. And they doubled A.J. Brown on the play. Jalen made the right read. That's one thing. That was the game plan of Spags, and to a large degree it worked.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, if you take out the Week 16 loss of the Eagles to the Washington Commanders when Jalen got hurt in the first quarter, he finished the year 14-0. He did throw the one interception in the end zone, but he had a total of three turnovers in a 14-0 run, and he averaged 22 passes a game, and he threw 22 passes in this game. Now, some were, you know, were designed passes that end up scrambling, like Jason's pointing out, but that was their formula. That was their formula. They got big explosive plays. Devontae, A.J. Brown had a broken coverage. Chanel got lost. But if you want to play those guys out there, those linebackers are going to get a little exposed, like, in coverage. You know, you'd rather have a real nickel, maybe even a Justin Reed, you know, on A.J. Brown picking them up. You know, and then they got Jahan Dotson, you know, on the fourth pass of the game down the sideline, one-on-one. They won their one-on-ones. And that was the game that Spags was willing to play. You know, with McDuffie and Watson and the guys that they had. And Jalen made him pay. He made him pay. And then he made some great checks, some great off the arc. In fact, the play to Jahan Dotson I'm speaking of in that first quarter that set up the tush push for the first touchdown, that was an audible check by Jalen. So to your point, he was in complete control, masterful. And, you know, we can sort of spin all this going forward as we start getting into the draft, and everybody's going to be looking at the quarterbacks, which we always do. There was Jalen 2020 with the 53rd pick in the second round. Yeah. And, you know, the Eagles, to their credit, all right, you know, Carson Wentz went sideways, went south. We're riding Jalen. And they just keep restocking their shelves. And I'll give you one other. I mean, going back to Joe Banner, because all these teams are looking to copycat what the Eagles are doing. But the transition at left tackle has gone from Trey Thomas to Jason Peter to Jordan Mailata. The transition at right tackle went from John Runyon to Lane Johnson. Like, nobody has a succession. Maybe the Packers at quarterback, but nobody has a succession of offensive linemen like the Eagles. And they just keep putting their resources in there. And I don't think it's that difficult for these GMs. They just get sideways when it comes to how to build a team. The Eagles tell you, this is how you do it. And as long as your quarterback, even if he's the 53rd pick out of Oklahoma and had a transfer from Alabama, all the stuff he had to do, if you just keep surrounding that guy with great players and competent coaches, you can be successful.
Yeah, no doubt. The formula's there. And here's the thing that stands out to me about what you're talking about, Baldy, with that Jalen pick. You know, we kind of all forget they had a quarterback. They had just paid.
And they just paid.
Howie didn't give a damn. Howie didn't care. He said, I'm still going to go get another guy. Yeah. That's the things that GMs are afraid of, Jason. They don't have the balls to do that when they just paid a guy. He didn't care.
I think he's got the balls to trade for Myles Garrett. I don't think these guys are, going to be more motivated than ever. This is not complacency. He doesn't have anybody to pay. He's got everybody locked up long-term who he needs to lock up. He's got cost certainty. He's got an owner who doesn't give a damn, who will give him carte blanche if you think this puts us over the top again. And if you swap out Josh Sweat for Myles Garrett, how many people would take that exchange? If you let Josh Sweat walk and go trade two late ones and something else for Myles Garrett, I think they're going to get it. More to the point, GMs I talk to in the league think they're going to get it.
Think about just the last two drafts, because it's about draft and development, right? So this draft was Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I call him Cooper DeJam. Like Travis Kelce couldn't get off his jam on the line of scrimmage. And Jalen Tuttle. That was the first three picks this year. They all had plays in the Super Bowl. All right. The year before, they had Jalen Carter, they had Nolan Smith, and they had Tyler Steen, who played guard, both guards this year. They struck gold in all three, but all six of those players at the top of the draft, they're literally 6 for 6. But all those players at the top of the draft, they've developed all of them. Remember, they spent $51 million on Bryce Huff. It didn't work out.
Right.
It didn't fit in Vic's defense.
Yeah.
Well, here comes Nolan Smith, who might be one of the most feared edge rushers already in this league, the way he's developing. Draft and develop. I mean, you hear all this talk about, well, let's get Aaron Rodgers. Like, just get younger, draft well, and teach and coach. Like, that's the formula. When the Kansas City Chiefs, lost to Tampa, here comes Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. The next year, here comes, let's make a trade with Tyreek Hill. Let's go draft six defensive players. And let's develop those guys. They all start for him now. Like, the template is there. Like, draft and develop, get younger, put them on rookie contracts, and make sure you get the most out of these guys. Do your homework, what kind of guys they are. Football's got to be important, obviously. But, like, do your homework. Draft these guys and develop them.
So, Baldy, I mean, listen, and the draft and certainly the combine is next. You know, we'll be looking at that and looking at all these guys. Jason, it's interesting you say you think they're going to make a move to go get Garrett. If they do, I think that's monumental. I think that sends a statement across the league. If the Eagles are able to somehow pull that off, and you're right, everybody's saying two first rounds, two firsts to do it. I don't think they're scared to do that.